Naked ascetics are letting their bodies get wet with the rain. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 281, Tipitaka, part 184, Mahabhaga 8, part 4, in which we will continue reading the scriptures of pre-sectarian early Buddhism, translated directly from the original Pali language by the Pali Text Society. Thank you, Pali Text Society. Right, so if you would like to start at the beginning of the Tipitaka, feel free to click the playlist. And if you would like to know a little more about Buddhist Books Podcast, if you're new, here's the introduction. And without further ado, we will pick up right where we left off last time. Now at that time, robe material came to be heaped up in an order's storeroom. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "I allow you, monks, to distribute it by means of the order that is present," end quote. Then the whole order, distributing the robe material, made a tumult. They made a great noise saying, "Give for our teacher, give for our preceptor." All right. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "I allow you, monks, to agree upon a monk endowed with five qualities as distributor of robe material. One who would not follow a wrong course through partiality," three dots. "One who would not follow a wrong course through fear, and one who would know what is distributed and what is not distributed. And thus, monks, should he be agreed upon," three dots. Quote within quotes, three dots. "The monk so-and-so is agreed upon by the order as distributor of robe material. It is pleasing to the order, therefore it is silent. Thus do I understand this." End quote within quotes, end quote. It's unfortunate that they leave so much out. But if you have been keeping up, then you have an idea of what would probably go in the three dots that the Pali Text Society likes to replace text with. Anyway, then it occurred to the monks, who were the distributors of robe material, quote, "Now, how should we distribute the robe material?" End quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "I allow you, monks, having first examined it, having estimated it, having equalized it, having counted the monks, having formed them into sections, to arrange a share of the robe material for each section," end quotes. Then it occurred to the monks who were the distributors of robe material, quote, "Now, how should a share of the robe material be given to novices?" End quotes. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "I allow you, monks, to give half a share to novices," end quote. Now, at that time, a certain monk became desirous of crossing over with his own portion. Crossing over, there's a footnote. In case the room material cannot be given to each one on one day, then counting the monks by tens. What does this have to do with? Nothing. It's a different footnote. Okay. Says a river or the wilds. Okay, crossing over a river or the wilds. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, to give his own portion to one who is crossing over, end quote. Now at that time, a certain monk became desirous of crossing over with more than one portion. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monk, to give more than one portion, if he gives a compensation, end quote. Bartering, are we? Word apparently only occurs here. Says it means whatever goods are allowable may be delivered in return, may be handed over, i.e. by the monk receiving more than one portion. It seems like a system of barter, yeah. Huh. Weird. Then it occurred to the monks who were the distributors of robe material. Quote, now, how should a share of the robe material be given? In the order in which they came in, or according to seniority? End quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, having made good anything lacking, to cast lots with kusa grass. End quote. Randomly, then. All right. Now, at that time, monks dyed robe material with dung, like you do, and with yellow clay. The robe material came to be a bad color. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, 6 kinds of dyes. Dye from roots, dye from stems, dye from bark, dye from leaves, dye from flowers, dye from fruits, end quote. That's D-Y-E, a dye, like a ink or something, you know. Now at that time, monks dyed robe material with cold water. The robe material came to smell nasty. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, a little dye pot in which to boil the dye. End quote. The dye was split. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, to arrange a basin to prevent dye from, to prevent dye from spilling. End quote. Now at that time, the monks did not know whether the dye had boiled or had not fully boiled. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, to put a drop into water or onto the back of your nail, end quote. Now at that time, monks, pouring out the dye, upset the pot. The pot was broken. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, a ladle for the dye, a scoop with a handle, end quote. Now at that time, the monks did not have a dye vessel. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, a pitcher for the dye, a bowl for the dye, end quote. Now at that time, monks steeped robe material in a dish and also in a bowl. The robe material was split. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, a trough for the dye, end quotes. Now at that time, monks spread out robe material on the ground. The robe material became dusty. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, a grass matting, end quote. The grass matting was eaten by white ants. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, a bamboo for hanging up the robe material, a cord for hanging up the robe material, end quote. They hung it up by the middle. The die dropped down on both sides. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you monks to fasten it at a corner, end quote. The corner wore out. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you monks a corner thread, end quote. The die dripped down on one side. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you monks to dye it, turning it, and not to go away if the drips have not ceased, end quote. Now at that time, robe material became stiff. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you monks to put it into water, end quote. Now at that time, robe material became harsh. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you monks to beat it with the hands, end quote. Now at that time, monks wore yellow robes, the color of ivory, not cut up. People looked down, criticized, spread it about, saying, quote, like householders who enjoy the pleasures of the senses. They told this matter to the Lord, end quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, monks, robes that are not cut up are not to be worn. Whoever should wear one, there is an offense of wrongdoing, end quote. Then the Lord, having stayed in Rajagaha for as long as he found suitable, set out on tour for Dakinagiri. The Lord saw the field of Magadha, laid out in strips, laid out in lines, laid out in embankments, laid out in squares. And seeing this, he addressed the Venerable Ananda, saying, quote, now do you, Ananda, see the field of Magadha laid out in strips, three dots, laid out in squares, end quote. Quote, yes, Lord, end quote. Quote, and are you able, Ananda, to provide robes like this for the monks? End quote. Quote, I am able, Lord. End quote. Then the Lord, having stayed at Dakinagiri for as long as he found suitable, went back again to Rajagaha. Then the Venerable Ananda, having provided robes for several monks, approached the Lord. Having approached, he spoke thus to the Lord, quote, Lord, let the Lord see the robes provided by me, end quote. Then the Lord, on that occasion, having given reasoned talk, addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, clever is Ananda. Monks, of great intelligence is Ananda. Inasmuch as he can understand in detail the meaning of that which was spoken of by me in brief, and can make a cross seam, and can make a short cross seam, and can make a circular seam, and can make a short circular seam, and can make a central piece, and can make side pieces, and can make a neck piece, and can make a knee piece, and can make an elbow piece, and what is cut up must be roughly darned together, suitable for recluses and not coveted by opponents. I allow you, monks, an outer cloak that is cut up, an upper robe that is cut up, an inner robe that is cut up. End quote. Then the Lord, having stayed at Rajagaha for as long as he found suitable, set out on tour for Visali. As the Lord was going along the high road between Rajagaha and Visali, he saw several monks coming along smothered up in robes, having put a mattress of robes on their heads, and a mattress of robes on their backs, and a mattress of robes on their hips. And seeing them, it occurred to the Lord, quote, "These foolish men are turning too quickly to abundance of robes. Suppose I were to set a limit, were to establish bounds as to robes for the monks," end quote. Then the Lord, walking on tour, in due course arrived at Vesali. The Lord stayed there in Vesali in the Gotamaka shrine. Now at that time, on the cold winter nights between the 8th... Okay, there's a footnote. The footnote doesn't say anything. Thank you, Polytech Society. That was sarcastic. In a time of snowfall, the Lord sat down in the open air at night with only one robe. The Lord was not cold. As the first watch of the night was ending, the Lord became cold. The Lord put on a second robe. The Lord was not cold. As the middle watch of the night was ending, the Lord became cold. The Lord put on a third robe. The Lord was not cold. As the last watch of the night was ending, as the sun was rising, in the flush of dawn, the Lord became cold. The Lord put on a fourth robe. The Lord was not cold. Then it occurred to the Lord, quote, "Even those who in this Dhamma and discipline are sons of respectable families, susceptible to cold, afraid of cold, even these are able to keep themselves going with three robes. Suppose I were to set a limit, were to establish bounds as to robes for monks, were to allow three robes." End quote. Then the Lord, on this occasion, having given reasoned talk, addressed the monks, saying, quote, "Now as I, monks, was going along the high road between Rajagaha and Vesali, I saw several monks coming along smothered up in robes, having put a mattress of robes on their heads and a mattress of robes on their backs and a mattress of robes on their hips. Seeing them, it occurred to me," quote within quotes, "these foolish men have turned too quickly to abundance of robes. Suppose I were to set a limit, were to establish bounds as to robes for monks," end quote within quotes. "Then I, monks, on the cold winter nights between the 8th, in a time of snowfall, sat down in the open air at night with only one robe. I was not cold. As the first watch of the night was ending, I became cold. I put on a second robe. I was not cold. As the middle watch of the night was ending, I became cold. I put on a third robe. I was not cold. As the last watch of the night was ending, as the sun was rising, in the flush of dawn, I became cold. I put on a fourth robe. I was not cold. Then, monks, it occurred to me," quote within quotes, "even those who in this Dhamma and discipline are sons of respectable families, susceptible to cold, afraid of cold, even these are able to keep themselves going with three robes. Suppose I were to set a limit, were to establish bounds as to robes for monks, and were to allow three robes," end quote within quotes. I hate to say it, but what about in the flush of dawn when they need a fourth one? You yourself, Lord, got cold. Sorry, I don't mean to question that. "I allow you, monks, three robes, a double outer cloak, a single upper robe, a single inner robe." Double outer cloak. That is technically four then. "Now at that time, the group of six monks saying, quote, three robes are allowed by the Lord, and, quote, entered a village in one set of three robes, remained in the monastery in another set of three robes, went down to bathe in another set of three robes. Those who were modest monks looked down upon, criticized, spread it about, saying, quote, how can the group of six monks wear an extra robe, end quote. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. Then the Lord, on this occasion, having given reason to talk, addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, an extra robe should not be worn. When did they wear an extra robe? Did they put on? No, they had three sets of three robes. So, okay, not a fourth one, but all right, it's just worded strangely. Maybe it makes sense in the original Pali language. Having given reason to talk, addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, an extra robe should not be worn. Whoever should wear one should be dealt with according to the rule, end quote. Yes, I remember earlier in the TV talk, there were rules about limits for robes that were established. I think it's a wrongdoing. Low infraction, not quite a misdemeanor. End quote. Now at that time, an extra robe accrued to the Venerable Ananda. Yeah, they're telling this story again. Sometimes there's some overlap or things get repeated. So there's some things being repeated here that we are familiar from here, but we'll go ahead and read it. And the Venerable Ananda wanted to give this robe to the Venerable Shariputra, but the Venerable Shariputra was staying at Saketa. Then it occurred to the Venerable Ananda, quote, it is laid down by the Lord that an extra robe should not be worn, and this extra robe has accrued to me, and I want to give this robe to the Venerable Shariputra, but the Venerable Shariputra is staying at Saketa. Now, what line of conduct should be followed by me? End quote. Then the Venerable Ananda told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, but how long, Ananda, before Shariputra will come here? End quote. Quote, Lord, on the 9th or 10th day, end quote, he said. Then the Lord, on this occasion, having given reason to talk, addressed the monks, saying, quote, I allow you, monks, to wear an extra robe for at most 10 days, end quote. Now at that time, an extra robe accrued to monks. Then it occurred to these monks, quote, now what line of conduct should be followed in regard to an extra robe, end quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, I allow you, monks, to assign an extra robe. End quote. Then the Lord, having stayed at Visali for as long as he found suitable, set out on tour for Benares. Walking on tour, in due course he arrived at Benares. The Lord stayed there, near Benares, in the deer park at Isipatana. Now at that time, a certain monk's inner robe came to be torn. Then it occurred to that monk, quote, three robes are allowed by the Lord, the double outer cloak, the single upper robe, the single inner robe. But my inner robe is torn. Suppose I were to insert a patch, so that it will be double cloth all around, single in the middle. End quote. Then that monk inserted a patch. As the Lord was touring the lodgings, he saw that monk inserting the patch. Seeing him, he approached that monk. Having approached, he spoke thus to that monk, quote, what are you doing, monk? End quote. Quote, I am inserting a patch, Lord. End quote. Quote, it is very good, monk. It is good that you, monk, insert a patch. End quote. Then the Lord, on this occasion, having given reason to talk, addressed the monks, saying, quote, I allow you, monks, when clothes are unsoiled, when what is allowable is unsoiled, a double outer cloak, a single upper robe, a single inner robe, when garments are thin from use, a fourfold outer cloak, a double upper robe, a double inner robe. As far as possible, an effort is to be made to get patches from a rag robe, from bits picked up near a shop. I allow monks a patch, a means of fastening, a length, a marking with a piece of cloth, a strengthening. End quote. Then the Lord, having stayed at Benares for as long as he found suitable, set out on tour for Savatthi. Walking on tour, in due course he arrived at Savatthi. The Lord stayed there at Savatthi in the Jeta Grove, in Anathapindika's monastery. Then Visakha, Migara's mother, approached the Lord. Having greeted the Lord, she sat down at a respectful distance. As she was sitting down at a respectful distance, the Lord gladdened. Three dots. Delighted Visakha, Migara's mother, with Dhamma talk. Then Visakha, Migara's mother, when she had been gladdened, three dots. Delighted by the Lord with Dhamma talk, spoke thus to the Lord. Quote, Lord, may the Lord consent to accept from me a meal on the morrow, together with the order of monks. End quote. The Lord consented by becoming silent. Then Visakha, Migara's mother, having understood the Lord's consent, rising from her seat, greeting the Lord, departed, keeping her right side towards him. Then towards the end of that night, a great cloud rained down in the four continents. Then the Lord addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, even as it is raining in the Jeta Grove, so it is raining on the four continents. Let your bodies get wet with the rain. Monks, this is the last great cloud over the four continents. End quote. Quote, very well, Lord. End quote. And these monks, having answered the Lord in assent, with their robes laid aside, let their bodies get wet with the rain. Then Visakha, Migara's mother, having had sumptuous food, solid and soft, prepared, commanded a woman slave, saying, it was a different time. And that's not what she said, but that's what I said. Quote, go now. Having gone to the monastery, announce the time, saying, quote, within quotes, Lord, it is time. The meal is ready. End quote, within quotes. End quote. Quote, very well, lady. End quote. And this slave woman, having answered Visakha, Migara's mother, in assent, having gone to the monastery, saw the monks, their robes laid aside, letting their bodies get wet with the rain. Seeing them, she thought, quote, there are no monks in the monastery. Naked ascetics are letting their bodies get wet with the rain, end quote. She approached Visakha, Migara's mother. Having approached, she spoke thus to Visakha, Migara's mother. Quote, lady, there are no monks in the monastery. Naked ascetics are letting their bodies get wet with the rain, end quote. Then it occurred to Visakha, Migara's mother, she being clever, experienced, wise, quote, but undoubtedly it is the masters, their robes laid aside, who are letting their bodies get wet with the rain. This foolish woman thinks that there are no monks in the monastery, but that naked ascetics are letting their bodies get wet with the rain, end quote. She commanded the slave woman, saying, quote, Go now. Having gone to the monastery, announce the time, saying, quote within quotes, Lord, it is time. The meal is ready. End quote within quotes. End quote. Then these monks, having cooled their limbs, being refreshed in body, having taken up their robes, entered each his own dwelling place. Then that slave woman, or excuse me, woman slave, did it always say woman slave? No, they decided to reverse slave woman to woman slave. All right. Having gone to the monastery, not seeing the monks, thinking there are no monks in the monastery is empty, and, quote, approached Visakha, Megara's mother. Having approached, she spoke thus to Visakha, Megara's mother, quote, Lady, there are no monks in the monastery is empty, end quote. Then it occurred to Visakha, Megara's mother, she being clever, experienced, wise. Quote, but undoubtedly the masters, having cooled their limbs, being refreshed in body, having taken up their robes, have each entered his own dwelling place. This foolish woman thinks that there are no monks in the monastery, that the monastery is empty. End quote. She commanded the... Just a word of advice. Why don't you go yourself instead of just again and again? There's a Laurel and Hardy. Let's play that clip.
15 cents for the strawberry ice cream.
We haven't any.
Well, get tutti-frutted.
Give me tutti-frutti.
We haven't any.
Yeah, he goes again and again. Turns out it's not even.
Well, what have you got?
I told you, we don't sell ice cream here. Next door.
Yeah, he's in the wrong place. So... Of course, there wasn't going to be any ice cream. And yes, that is Oliver Hardy in drag. It's a fun episode. It's called Twice Two. Anyway, quote, go now, having gone to the monastery, announced the time, saying, quote, then quotes, Lord, it is time, the meal is ready, end quote, then quotes, end quote. Then the Lord answered the monks, saying, quote, monks, arrange your robes, it is time for the meal. End quote. Quote, very well, Lord, end quote. These monks answered the Lord in assent. Then the Lord, dressing in the morning, taking his bowl and robe, having vanished from the Jetta Grove, just as a strong man can stretch out his bent arm, or might bend back his outstretched arm, became visible in the porch belonging to Visakha, Megara's mother. Then the Lord sat down on an appointed seat with the order of monks. Then Visakha, Megara's mother, saying, quote, wonderful, good sirs, marvelous, good sirs, is the great psychic power, the great majesty of the truth finder, in that although the floods are rolling on knee-deep, and although the floods are rolling on waist-deep, yet neither the feet nor the robes of a single monk have become wet. End quote. And joyful, exultant, having with her own hand served and satisfied the order of monks with the awakened one at their head with sumptuous, solid, and soft food, she sat down at a respectful distance after the Lord had eaten and had removed his hand from the bowl. As she was sitting down at a respectful distance, Visakha, Megara's mother, spoke thus to the Lord. Quote, Lord, I ask 8 boons of the Lord. End quote. What are the 8 boons, you might wonder? Well, tune in next time, or if you... click like and subscribe and click that notification bell, then YouTube will notify you when these episodes are uploaded. Won't be too long before you find out what 8 boons Visakha, Megara's mother, asked of the Lord. I'm betting that whatever she asks, well, I'm betting that he'll grant them. Even though he did tell Jivaka Komarabaka, that truth finders do not grant boons. He might say the same thing to her, and then she might say, but it is what is allowable and all that. Same thing Jivaka said. Who knows? I'm just guessing. We'll all find out together. I hope that you enjoyed yourself here in today's episode. I thought we might finish since these Mahavaga have been getting shorter, but Mahavaga 4 or Mahavaga 8 seems to be a little longer than Mahavaga 7 was. I don't peek ahead. I like to be surprised. So we'll all find out together. Okay, well, there it is. A little bit more of the gaps filled in on how things went in the early days with the original Sangha. I'll go ahead and do the usual closing. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us, and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.